And all the members of the body, though they're many, they're one body. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of the one Spirit. I love that. I don't think I'd ever noticed that so clear as it is today. If you're thirsty, drink. Drink of the one Spirit, and you will be satisfied. You'll be so filled and satisfied, you'll never thirst again for anything other than God, the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, "And that so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. For if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." Isn't that awesome? And what God is wanting to do this morning is open up an atmosphere of, yes, we're all different, we're all individuals, but we're all a part of each other. And when we grasp that, when we really get that, and I don't know if we're going to ever get it fully, but we can attain, we can strive to get it as much as we can get it, to where we strive to love one another, to receive one another, to honor one another, to even suffer with one another, to rejoice with one another as one body connected to one Christ, one God, drinking of the one Spirit. So I'm going to invite my good friends up here, Terry and Sandra Evans, and they're going to share their testimony. Then we're going to finish up with some prayer. We're going to finish up with some things that God also wants to do. But I'd like to introduce to you Terry and Sandra Evans. They've got a story. Do you guys want a pulpit?
Oh.
You can. You're welcome to it. The waters are for you. Yeah. I know what it's like to need water.
These are mine.
I can get two for her.
Thank you, Eric. Okay. All right. I'm good. Thank you for the scripture, too. That was comforting. I liked that. I'm nervous. So there you go. You got to get a little closer to me. I need you here. Pretend like we know each other. I think I would like to stand, and whatever he wants to do, I'll let him. There's part of our story right there. I'll let him. Will you open that
Amen.
For me?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for the opportunity to get up here, and really what I hope for is that I can inspire and encourage somebody in any way at all, and that that God will smile down on me. That's really what I'm hoping for. I hope I can be honest and humble, and I think I can. when I met Terry, I was divorced for about a year. I was in the throes of my alcoholism, and it was not a real pretty sight. And somehow we were drawn to one another. And we equally kind of came from the similar backgrounds. We didn't really have great examples of moms and dads and successful marriages in our home, but we tried and did our best. And growing up as a child, I grew up with an alcoholic mom and a dad who didn't know how to do that and smile and love and encourage me. They did the best they could. I know that today. And so what I realized looking back is that I spent my life trying to fill this God-shaped void with, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the men, the chaos, the drama, the calamity, all of that stuff. And I didn't know it at the time that I had a spiritual malady and that's what I was seeking. I didn't know that. I'm having a hard time with this microphone. I didn't grow up in a home where we talked about God or we prayed or we went to church or anything like that, but I'm very grateful today that I didn't hear any anti-stuff like that. I didn't hear anything bad about God, but I just wasn't introduced to it. So I went out seeking this feeling that I was looking for, which now I know is God. and I sought it in lots of destructive ways. So Terry and I met. We got married about 9 months after we met. That was Terry's idea, and I just said, why not? I don't have anything better to do this weekend. So.
True story.
We brought 5 children between the two of us into this marriage, and I was not a good stepmom. He tried to be a good stepdad, but I wouldn't let him. And so I ended up getting sober about a few months after we got married. And if you think about that, sober after getting married, you know, we had a rough go of it because the first many years were brutal for me because all of a sudden I had to feel stuff. And I knew what I wanted. I knew that I wanted to be a good wife. And I was, thank God, a pretty good mom to my kids somehow, but not as good as I am today. But I didn't know how to do it. So I found a recovery program that introduced me to how to get to know God, how to lean on God, how to use God, not just believe in God like I believe in Santa Claus, right? I believed in God, but God's not Santa Claus. So thank you, Eric. Come on. More. I need a few more amens or so. All right, good, thank you. I feel better. So I still had issues, and Terry still had issues, and we ended up getting transferred through his job to the state of Illinois, and that really put a real dent in our marriage because I struggled and I suffered. I had to try to get hooked up with recovery in a new place, and I found it difficult, just like when people move their church group. I know a lot of people find it difficult. That was the same for me. And I really hated my husband for moving me out there. You know, I don't like to say that, but that's how I felt. I just was so angry with him for moving me out there. The weather, I had to fly my kids back here to see their dad, and that was torture for me. Because anybody that knows the kind of mom I am, I don't want to put my kids on a plane and watch them fly off. That's just not how God made me. But I did it. So we limped through those 5 years in Illinois. We were the leaders of a small group, a recovery group. That kind of got us through for a while. But we just didn't have what we have today, you know. And I realized, looking back, that individually we had a God. We were seeking God individually, but we didn't really know how to do that together. And we didn't do it together. We didn't know how. So fast forward, thank God, and it was clearly God. We were going to move back here, whether Terry was coming with me or not, I was leaving because I couldn't handle Illinois. We had a tornado that hit about 15 miles from our house, and I developed serious panic disorder as a result of the weather. It was just killing me. So I said, I hope you can join me. I'm going home. And we had other opportunities to move back where it would have dented his career and stifled his career, which, if you know Terry, that's a really big deal to him. By the way, hi, Mom and Dad. Terry's parents are over there. So. So a couple of my ideas didn't work out, and we didn't get to come home when I wanted to. But God opened up a door, and we ended up getting to move back here, and he ended up with a promotion moving back here. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we let go of our ideas. And thank God, because the woman I am today, I would have felt terrible if my husband's career was affected because of me. That would have not been good for me. So we got home, and I thought, oh, yay, I'm all better. I've been sober almost 10 years, and I'm so wonderful, and everybody's going to be so happy I'm home, and my family get-togethers are going to look like all the TV shows I watched when I was a kid, and my sister and I are in recovery together. We're going to go to meetings, and everything's going to be great. And it didn't turn out that way. I got here, and my family was still who my family was. I was different. My sister's busy. Still had to get reacclimated into recovery again here. And I don't have a lot of background with church, as you've noticed. I haven't talked a lot about that until now. So I came to the salt mine, Billy, and I was peddling my business and passing out my goodies because I wanted y'all to know I'm here. And I had no idea what this place was. It doesn't look like a church. So I showed up and thought, well, I'll give these guys some of my stuff. And so somebody in that room, I don't know who it was, said, you need to go out and talk to somebody out in there. And I thought, well, okay, I'll go out there. And all Billy would say is, you just need to come check out our church. And I'd ask her questions. Well, what do you talk about the Bible? Well, you just need to come to our church. Well, what kind of church? All she would say is, you just need to come to our church. And just like anybody that's been a positive influence in my life, she agitated me. As does, that's how I work. And if you get to know me, you understand that that is a good, loving, positive thing for me to say to you, because that's how I learn. That's how I'm wired. So I came back. I came to church because I realized when I got home, all my plans didn't work out, and this is all I had, and it was not going well. It was not working for me. So I came to church, and I filled out that dumb little card, and I'm just sharing with you how I felt at the moment. It's not a dumb little card, but that was my mindset when I came in here. You people are wanting to talk to me and know me, and here's this stupid little card I'm going to fill out. And I wrote my truth, which was, I have a sick family, and I'm lonely. And that's what I wrote on that card. And that makes me so sad today. But that makes me so grateful today. Okay? So I believe in God and I have God, but I don't sit at home and change because I believe in God. I have to do stuff. I have to take action. So I came to church. I met some crazy lady that wanted to talk about me and help me and love me. And somehow I called her and she identified really quickly that I had mom and dad issues. And so she said, hey, how about we work this little study? And I did it. And I was all in with that study. And what I found was a lot of stuff that I had already been through in recovery, but it was a deeper level. But what I saw in that book was him. And I had a compassion for him. I understood Terry because I saw him in that reading. And I thought, wow, exactly what this book says, if this is your life, this is who you'll be. So I kept trudging, and I kept coming back here and letting you guys get to know me slowly, bringing my scowl and my wall down slowly. And then he started seeing stuff. He started going, wow, she's nice. She's not crazy. So what happened was, because I didn't have examples, I had this woman that I trusted, sometimes reluctantly, but 100% of the time I did what she told me to do. And I would call her and bitch about Terry, and she'd say, this is what you need to say, and I would do it. And I didn't, and I would tell her, I don't like what you're, I think you're crazy. I don't agree with you. He's wrong. I'm right. And all she would talk about was this Bible stuff. You know, this is what the Bible, oh, God, you know. So I said, okay. And I did it. And then he started coming around. And by the way, he's far surpassing me here, just so you all know, in so many ways, and I'm so grateful for that. So he started coming around. Our marriage started looking more like what these people and these women in my life that I trust are telling me it's supposed to look like. I think I started resembling a wife, and he started resembling a husband. And we went to dinner one night, and he said, you know, I went to church, and I talked to somebody, and they told me, I told him I was going to, that I wanted to be a good husband and that I needed help. And it didn't mean anything to me at the time because I had become ambivalent. I had really become ambivalent. And I thought, well, that's nice, you know, okay, that's nice. Taco talk, you know, and then I came in here, and Glenn, who's over there sleeping, that's okay. Glenn said, oh, I'm not at all. Glenn said, how are things at home? And I said, fine. And he said, how's Terry? And I said, in true Sandra form, well, he's right there. Why don't you ask him? And he said, I want to know what you think. And I said, well, actually, he's not the same person. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you what Terry said. And then he shared with me that Terry had committed those words to him. So then suddenly I went, wow, that talk at dinner, I maybe should have paid more attention to that talk. But the bottom line is, we've had our individual journeys, and now we're on this journey together. I'd still like to have my own journey a little bit, because that's just how I am. And Terry's doesn't have the same issues I have with the drink problem, and I've grown to love and very much like being a part of my recovery program. I plan to continue to do that, but I also like this. I like this gig too. I'm grateful that he supports me in both. And today we have hope. Today we have, we're not perfect. Today I don't take my wedding ring off and throw it at him. He doesn't tell me to get out. He listens to me. And I remember talking to him in our house and saying something to him and saying, I really didn't like that or whatever. And he paused and he said, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that. That was not Terry. Terry learned somehow to defend himself and to keep people at bay. That's my observation as your wife. And he's not that way anymore. And sometimes I think, man, I want what you have. I want what he has. And today we have a pretty darn good life, and it's not perfect. And, you know, we have my in-laws living with me, and I love you guys, but it's not always easy. And we had the support of people, and we told people what was going on in our life, and that's one of the things that Terry and I have always had in common is seeking help and helping others. That was one of the first things that attracted me to him, was that he's very helpful. When he tells somebody, if you need help, let me know, he means it. He shows up and he helps, and I admire that, and it's a gift. And so somebody said to me, and I was so grateful that she said it to me the other day, that people are intimidated by me sometimes, and I was so grateful that she had the love enough to tell me the truth. And I said, I know, but, and she said, no, that's how you are. That's how God made you. And I so appreciated that. And I've heard that from some of the leadership here trying to encourage me to be myself. So I'm grateful to get up and share in front of you guys, and maybe you have a little bit better understanding of me. I've still got issues, you know. I still have hurts and fears, but they don't stick around very long today, and I have a husband I can count on, and I respect, and I want what he has. And that's pretty cool. So I think I'm done. I'm going to hand it off.
Wow. She shared a little bit with me what she was going to say, but it just feels different up here, and there's a little more, so I love you. You know, our what I can say today about our marriage, she gave me a lot of honor right there. But glory goes to God, 100%. I can't do this by myself. I've tried. I have a failed marriage behind me too. And failed marriages happen for me when I'm right, when things got to go my way and I got to fix things and I don't listen and all that stuff. So I don't have that today. If you come here real quick. So today, she says that she, I'll get into my testimony in a second, but there's something that needs to be understood here. We both have our own walk, and it's imperative that we have our own walk, but in our marriage, we are equals today serving God. And there's a whole host of things that led me to that conclusion. And I know what it's like to not have God as my guide. I know what it's like to think I'm doing the right things, and when the right things don't go my way, everybody else is wrong. I ain't never going to do that again. That's part of my testimony. So today, Sandra and I are equal, standing side by side, serving God, and when we both committed to that, our marriage has been going a lot better. So it's, I want what she has. That's the truth. We're serving God together, and that's what that looks like. We want what each other has, and we keep moving in that. It's not always easy, because when we are equal serving God, there's a thing that comes with that, is we get to hold each other accountable. That is a new step for me, because accountability looks very, very different than blame. And by the way, when I go down the blame path, it's everybody else's fault but mine, right? So with that, you know, what we bring into a marriage has a lot to do with our past. It has a lot to, see, my wife says a lot of good things to me, and I actually listen, and I heard about the three B's. I'm not sure where she heard that, but the background, burdens, and baggage. And I brought a whole mess of that into our marriage. So if I could share a little bit generally about, you know, where things started, I can tell you that God knew me at an early age. My parents brought me to church before they had God in their marriage. And I had a lot of blessings from my parents. My dad, I got my work ethic from my dad. My dad was a helper of everybody, so this service that Sandra talks about, actually, I get from my dad. He knows how to be a provider, and that's what he drove into me. Make sure everybody's happy in your family. Make sure everybody's cared for. That is your responsibility as a father. That's your responsibility as a husband. He was right. I didn't filter that right, right? My mom is a great example of patience. I haven't seen anybody more patient than my mom, and so I've got to see great examples of what it's like to be helpful, what it's like to be a provider, and what it's like to keep going, right? So I had that foundation, but what I didn't have is a clear understanding of the Bible and a clear understanding of how I, where's my compass, right? So my compass took me down a path of self-serving, right? I don't know how to explain this. So, and by the way, I gave my testimony like 12 times, and that was like last night. I couldn't sleep. And so I actually wrote down some notes here, but Holy Spirit's telling me I don't need them. Bear with me. Yeah, compass. Thank you. So I was drawing a blank up here. Yeah. Yeah, so when I went to church, I think I was 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old, and there was a call to the altar, and I went up there, and something happened that day. At that young age, something happened, and I didn't understand it. But what was planted in me from that day forward was a yearning for more. There was an emptiness in me that I believe today that God planted in there. And that emptiness can only be filled by God and by Jesus. And I didn't understand that. What I started doing from that point forward was my surroundings. So while my parents gave me a lot of good blessings with direction and stuff like that, one thing that I didn't have in my life was a God-centered marriage as an example, right? My dad was a great provider. My parents always told me I'm going to be, you know, 10 times the people they've ever been. So I didn't have that distraction of my parents telling me I wasn't going to amount to anything. But everybody else around me did. I've got a bunch of siblings that they're half brothers, half sisters, and whatnot. But I didn't fit in their world because I was the reason why their parents aren't together. And I didn't understand what the hurts and all that stuff with that meant. I just knew I had all these brothers and sisters. And for some reason, I wasn't a part of. So I also learned at an early age that, you know, when I do things in a competitive spirit, people start liking me. Especially when I show that I can do it. Oh, and by the way, I'm better than you, right? So that started me down a path. My entire, all the way through high school, all the way, you know, into my early 20s. And I carried pieces of that into my marriage with my wife. It almost got me killed a couple times. At 12 years old, I grew up in Southern California, surfed a lot. At 12 years old, there was a hurricane off of the southern tip of Baja, and we waited for that kind of stuff. And at 12 years old, I could say we waited kind of for that kind of stuff because that was the thing that we said. And if we said that, everybody's like, whoa, he's crazy, you know? I ended up walking out there trying to be the big shot, and a bunch of people called me out, and I ended up paddling out, and waves were as big as 2.5-story houses coming in, and I'm 12 years old. I paddled out, made it, took a couple waves in. Helicopter came out, told me to get out. I didn't. Eventually, I came in, and I was scared. I've never been so fearful. Well, in that, I got pounded pretty good a couple times, and one of those times, I actually gave up on life. I struggled, and when you almost drown, there's some things that happen, and I gave up, and when I gave up, I went limp. I let all the air out, and as soon as I did that, I came up to the surface, and that was God taking care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. See, and I didn't recognize that at the time. What I recognized when I went back to school, everybody was talking about that crazy kid that was 12 years old in seventh grade, went out there in 22-foot surf and caught some waves. All of a sudden, people liked me. All of a sudden, I was accepted. And then that became that fulfillment of what God planted in me. And going on through high school, that got me, that kind of thinking got me in fights. It got me into drugs and alcohol. But the drugs and alcohol is a little different for me. They didn't numb me. I actually didn't like it. But when I did it, people accepted me. All of a sudden, I was cool. I was with the in crowd. And there was a time or two that my old man almost had to take me to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. And I did it in the name of being accepted and trying to fulfill that thing that God planted in me that said, you need to come to me. And I didn't. So, fast forward some more, and I brought that into a marriage, and there's a lot of ways that misguided direction of how to fulfill that void in my life got me in a lot of trouble, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't know it. There's also things that I did that were right. They were absolutely right. As I go back and I look at the Bible now, and I look at stories, and how do I connect the dots to my life, I did the right thing. But sometimes when you do the right thing, things don't go your way. And that happened quite a few times to me. And every time that happened, I went, I ain't doing that again. Why would I do that? That hurts. That doesn't feel good. That actually really sucks. And so bringing that forward, and that's through a failed marriage. And so those are the things that I brought into my marriage with Sandra. Do what I say. I'm a provider. Don't you appreciate what I do for you? And it doesn't matter how you feel. You just need to do what I say. Because that's one of the things that I grew up with, too, is hey, go out and be a service, but do as I say, not as I do, and boys will be boys. Well, do as I say, not as I do doesn't work. It doesn't work with God. My job today is to be an example. It's to be an example to my wife. It's to be an example to my kids, my stepkids, and those around me. I'm to be that light, and I have that today. And boys will be boys. Yeah, boys will be boys. Until it gets you in trouble because you're trying to fill a void that isn't filled with Jesus and God and that compass and that direction. So it took a long time for me to learn that. Sandra's and I marriage, it was like a tornado meeting an earthquake. It really was. It was at the same time. I mean, she came in as a tornado and I'm shaking everything. I mean, it was chaotic. It was rough. And it got to a point... she was not drinking, and I was still, you know, oh, my God, you need to go to rehab. You're crazy and all this stuff. And she's just looking at me going, wow, you know, you need help. And I'm going, me, you know. So I brought all of that stuff in with me. And we finally sat down one day, and we said, you know, we've both been married before. We don't want to do this again. We want to commit to one another. We don't know what that looks like. We know that we're not doing it right. And so we sat down with one another, and we committed to one another that we are going to stay married. God wasn't in this at that point. It was that decision that we're not going to get divorced. Thank God for that, you know. And this is where my mind gets blown sometimes, because today I know that God has my life planned out. Wow. God knew where I was going to be as a child. He knew what I was going to walk through. He knew the blessings that he was going to give to me, and he knew the misguided direction I was going to take. And when I brought this into my marriage, and he goes, okay, now's the time, Terry. Here, bam, here's Sandra, right?
Sorry.
No. Well, I'll tell you what, because it took my marriage to Sandra and how we, for me to question myself too, because she did a good job of questioning me. rightfully so. Everything from faith, what's faith, to you're a jerk, you know? And I needed to be called that quite a few times. The next step is the 5 years in Illinois. We went different directions. She was doing her thing and I was doing my thing. I buried myself in work. I buried myself in sports. And to this day, that's one of the blessings that I do have today. I just use it differently. I don't use it competitively against other people. I use it to compete against myself. I use it to be a light to other people that are around me. This is amazing. Just yesterday, I had somebody come to me when I was at their house and say, man, you know, you're the only person that I can talk to about this, you know? And it's those kind of blessings that's like, wow, I was not that person. I wasn't available like that. So today, thanks to God, my marriage is solid. And the reason why my marriage is solid is because of all of the rockiness that we had. Sandra and I both reached that point once again that we, you know, we're at, okay, we're not going to do this again. And it got better for a while. Then we went different directions. We came here and we had all this baggage, you know, that wasn't talked about. And I did see Sandra, you know, she changed. She was much less defensive. She quit poking me in the chest. And that this is my where I see it from my seat. She probably doesn't see it that way, understandably so. But when she came to this place called the Salt Mine, I'm like, Salt Mine? They sell salt? What's going on here? Where's she going to this salt place? And I'm seeing this, and wow, you know, I want to go to the salt place and check it out. So, yeah. So I went on the website, and I read up a little bit on the website. I'm like, okay, that's cool, because one of the things I have done when I was in and out of sanity, so to speak, I have been in and out of church, and I do have experience for being ridiculed for believing in God, both by my siblings and by other people, because in a belief in God, they choose to treat me as like I was a weaker person. And I bit on that. I bit on that hook, line, and sinker. That's not the way it is today. I know that that is not the truth. They're searching for the same thing that I am. They just have a different way of going about it, and they don't know it. We're all chasing, filling this same void. Jesus is the only thing that we're going to be able to do that. So I did see Sandra getting better. I started coming into the Salt Mine, and I came in, and I actually sat here quite a few times. I sat over there, and I was just scowling, angry. Sometimes we would have arguments before we came into church. And I'd have that. I'm like thinking to myself, God, why? Man, make it stop. You know, this is just crazy. Wow. And it never occurred to me that maybe I was part of the problem because, you know, exactly. I had no accountability, and I'm glad that you said it that way, because coming in here and still having that frustration in our marriage, I heard enough in here, and I started reading the Bible again, and I knew that there were instructions in there for me to make my marriage better. One thing that I didn't have in my life is how do I connect those stories in the Bible to my life today? To me, it's like reading Greek, and I need somebody to be around to help me connect those dots. How do I apply this to my life? And there are some stories in there that just, bam, it clicks. There's a lot of stories in there that, ain't no way. So I need people to help me apply that to my life, and I have that today. I absolutely have that today. And I was really frustrated in our marriage, same as Sandra. And I was at a crossroads in our marriage, and I said to myself, and I was praying to God, actually, and not the traditional pray to God. I'm like, God, please, you know, and sitting in here and listening to what I was listening to, reading the Bible, it occurred to me that, Terry, if I'm going to do anything, I need that accountability. I need to share what I'm trying to do with somebody else, because if I lean on myself for accountability, I'm good at lying to myself. And then I can trick myself and be like, yeah, good job. Yay me, right? So I actually came in here and shared with Glenn, and I shared with Eric. I said, hey, look, here's the deal. I know how to do all of these things, but it's occurring to me right now, I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a father. it doesn't mean, being a husband and a father doesn't mean I'm a good provider. It doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's going to come to me and ask for me to solve everything, because that was my experience. Being a good husband means I have to honor my wife. James says it really good, where he lays it out very clearly. And in James it says, hey, if you don't honor your wife, guess what? I don't hear your prayers. And I went, whoa, wow. It was very, very clear to me right now that, you know, I need to press into my marriage. I need to press into God. I need to press into Jesus, and I need to press into the book, because there actually is a book for life. It never occurred to me. Outside of here and other places, you listen to society, it's God will give you only what you can handle, which is false. And amen. And it's also, that one just took me off. So today, I said took me off, that didn't take me off. We're good. but anyhow, so there's rules in there, and there is a book for life. And that was the other thing that I heard out of here, is there is no book for raising kids. There is no book for marriage. There is no book for this. There's absolutely a book. There's absolutely a book, and there's absolutely a set of instructions, and I can't do it on my own. And today, Sandra and I are aligned on that. You know, not that I can't do it on her own, but she also knows and believes and coming to Christ that she can't do it on her own either. She's got an army helping her, and I've got a village helping me. I need an army. So it's really awesome. So today we're aligned. Today we've got a beautiful marriage. Today I know how to honor my parents. I didn't always know how to do that. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm honoring my parents. Sometimes it feels like something different because it's not in my wiring. Today I know how to honor my wife. Today I know how to be a good dad. Today I know how to be a good husband.
And grandpa.
And grandpa. Three times. And it's amazing. So I hope you got something from this today. I hope you did, because my life today is so complete with Jesus in it. I have a new understanding of my marriage. I have a new understanding of life. My job today, where my walk is today, is to be that beacon of light wherever there's a little bit of darkness. And that's funny, because that's a relative expression, because even when I'm not shining completely bright, there's always somebody else darker around me, and maybe I'm their light. And we bless each other that way. And to circle back with one more thing, and I'll wrap it up here, Eric. I've gone on way too long.
No, you're good.
Okay. All right. God gives me more than I can handle on a regular basis. If he did not give me more than I can handle on a regular basis, I'd have no reason to lean on him. That's a truth right there. I didn't realize that until not very long ago. So thanks be to God. And for everybody else in here, you know, people are watching, especially when you don't think they are. I've been watching you. not in a creepy way. but everybody.
I'm the creepy way watcher.
But everybody in here is an example, and don't everybody forget, because when you forget you're an example, all of a sudden everything starts falling apart. So praise be to God, and thank you for this opportunity, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, guys.
Amen. They're going to sit down for a minute, and that's okay, because that's okay. You guys are good. Yeah, I did want to share a couple of things, and because now where do we go? What do we do? I want, as Terry just said, he wants you to consider getting something from this. And I want to share a couple of, there's a passage of scripture, and then also something else that it's interesting. As they were sharing, what I saw interwoven through the steps that they, you guys okay? What's going on? All right. Oh, it started working like right now? Okay. Okay, it's just a squirrel. What I saw interwoven in their story, where they're at right now, to where Terry and Sandra have taken steps to get to where they're at now, is every step of God, where they allowed God to infiltrate their lives was a step of humility. And only in that step of humility is there breakthrough, and is there something on the other side that's way better than they could have ever even thought or imagined or dreamed up or even thought possible. Hello? Amen. And that's available. Isn't that so awesome? That's available for every single one of us. Just a simple step of humility of where God wants to take you next is all that he's asking each of us to take, is a step of humility. And what does that look like? I'm going to share something, and it's a passage in Scripture, and there's something that I want you to hear, though. It says, when through humility we put away our selfish grumbling and prideful disputing, we shine as lights in the world, showing ourselves to be God's children. In James 4:5, he says, Do you think that the Scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate. He's passionate that the Spirit that he has placed within us should be faithful to him. Wow. But look at what he also says this. He says, therefore, it says God opposes the proud but gives more grace to the humble. You hear what he just said there? And I don't think I'd ever seen it like that so clearly stated. And God has been showing me words of Scripture that are not just that it's being said, but also what's like that, just that tiny little innuendo of the word that he's saying. God gives more grace to those who humble themselves. See, when we're looking for God to intervene in our lives, the only and it's the only actual thing that we actually take part in and actually works is humbling ourselves. And he pours more grace. You want more grace in your life? That wasn't very convincing. Do you guys want more grace in your life? Oh, they do back there. Oh, no, it was you over here. I'm sorry. Absolutely. Our only step is to say, humble myself. And that's what I love, what Terry and Sandra have shared, is it's a step of, I thought I had it this way, and God showed me I needed to do it his way. We're all in the same place. Maybe different places, but we're all needing to take the same step. Amen. Well, let me finish what he also says this, because I think it's in line with what he says. It says, God opposes the proud but gives more grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. And in that submission to God, the next step is a resistance to the devil, which is pride, and he will flee from you. You know, yeah, absolutely. Isn't it like so clear? So clear. That's all I got to do. All I got to do. And Terry and Sandra are a great example of what God does when we humble ourselves in his name. Let us pray together. Let us pray. And then we're going to worship the Lord some more. Father God, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name for the blessing of being able to just love on one another, share with one another, be a light to one another. Not as though it's a light that we shine and so people see us. It's so that people see you, Jesus, in us. And that's our desire. That's our goal or our ambition. And Lord, right where I'm at, Lord, and I'm asking each and every one of us to just really, really just tap into the depths of your soul and of your mind and your heart and be really honest and say, Lord, there's places that I'm struggling with pride. I'm struggling with something that's really just a hindrance to trusting you. It's keeping me. I mean, I can't even put my finger on it sometimes, but I know that there's something holding me back. Lord, I'm giving you permission right now, God the Father, by the power of your Spirit, put your finger on the place of pride in my life that's keeping me from a humble step, which turns into a humble walk before you, so that I can choose. I can choose the right. I can choose to humble myself and walk humbly before God and man and receive more grace.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we start worship, I did want to announce, I want to let everybody know that Terry and Sandra, they're going to start a home group in their home on a Wednesday evening, and it's going to be awesome because it's just going to be a connection. It's a connect the dots type of a group. It's a group that's going to just come together as people with the same mind, same heart, same focus to get connected to God and what His Word has for us and what His Word is in our lives. And so as that starts up, we're going to be a part of that and support them and prayerfully and maybe even show up every now and then. It's going to be on a Wednesday night, though. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. 6:30, but they don't have a start date yet. God's going to do that, too. So very soon and very soon. Okay, yeah, I'll go. Give it up.
He knows.